This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, it is 10 a.m. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears, along with Bill Berger in studio. Ed Stevenson has the week off. Len Zien is with us live from the Palm Air Studios down in beautiful Sarasota, Florida. And we have a very exciting show for you today. We're going to be doing a lot with the BMW Championship, a rare appearance by the tournament in town. The one time in 7 years, yeah, 7 years that it's actually going to be here. Another announcement was made this week for 2027, taking the tournament out to New Jersey. And no, sadly, not Pine Valley either. We'll talk about that more coming up in the show. Billy, it's always an exciting week when the PGA Tour and the professional tours come to town and everybody comes out to see the best in the business play the game a little bit.
You know, I know that we've been rare on those tour events the last few years. It always astounds me. There's always a good turnout in Chicago. It's amazing how many people and what kind of gallery they get. You know that you would think that you'd get a few more, and over the years we're getting less. You know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Billy, you know, myself and Tim Cronin of the Illinois Golfer, we like to sort of speculate on attendance. We've got a few little formulas we work with to figure out how many people are there. And Tim and I put Thursday's crowd, I should say Tim, because I wasn't there Thursday, put it at almost 30,000. And then yesterday, the two of us put it at maybe a little bit more, closer to 35,000. The only thing is with Olympia Fields, with the space that they have and the amount of people that that property can handle, there are so many people so close to the clubhouse because they look really cool. But these large skybox buildouts that they have, holes 16, 17, 18, 9, 1, we have a majority of the people all within one hole of the clubhouse. And you get further out on the golf course. Boy, you want to walk up real close and watch these players up close and personal. You can do that because there's almost nobody out there. And, you know, Len Zien, you and I have hiked the golf courses during tournament week quite a few times and like to get out and see a little golf sometimes on every hole is the way I used to look at it. And boy, you want to get out to the third or fourth hole on Olympia Fields. There's a little bit of a crowd in the skyboxes by the third hole, that exciting classic par four there. But you can really get out and see some great golf away from the masses if you want to go out further on the golf course.
Well, yeah, that's no kidding. That fourth hole of Olympia, I think, is one of my very favorite holes in all of Chicago. But, you know, yesterday I was really captivated watching Max Homa set the Olympia Fields course record. That's very impressive when you think about it. I mean, he shoots 62, and given all the championships that have been held there, I mean, they've had two U.S. Opens, two PGAs, five Western Opens, and he gets the record that had been held by Vijay Singh and Ricky Fowler. So I was really captivated watching him work his way through the course. I found it just fascinating to watch. But, you know, you might remember this, Rory. I had to look this up. It was I remember that, you know, the last win that Max Homa had prior to a professional win before coming on the PGA Tour was in Chicago. It was I knew that I could remember it because it was a strange one. It was called the Rust-Oleum Championship, a Corn Ferry Tour event held at Ivanhoe, and this was 2016, and Max came from seven shots back in the final round to win. So, you know, maybe this is his place. I always looked on him as a West Coast guy, but he sure played great yesterday. It was a joy to watch that go all the work his way around that whole golf course.
Well, and one other name that we can include on that course record is Thomas Dittry, who played University of Illinois and did it during the Fighting Illini Classic there, the same thing that Ricky Fowler did. I talked to Ricky yesterday. He doesn't remember much at all, he says, about that day. Vijay Singh, of course, did it during the U.S. Open. But you know what we're going to do right now? I have a couple of chunks today from our post-round interviews with Max Homa. And here's a little bit more from the leader at Olympia Fields.
Not really. I mean, I've been playing good, so I don't know. Certain tee shots, you're always, when they go just exactly where you're looking, are nice. The one on three, just when you're getting kind of started into a round, those are just comfy feelings. But yeah, for the most part, not really. There's a couple shots that were, you know, really, I just thought, like, solid, that made me feel good. But I don't think that I ever really thought I was in a groove. I just, like I said, when you play from the fairway out here with how soft the greens are, I don't think it's like insanely hard. As it gets firmer, it gets really tricky. But the way it was today, I felt like I was able to kind of stare down a lot of flags. Yeah, I told Zach last year I was kissing up to him, but then he also said, you know, well, I'd like to not have to pick you. And I said, all right, there's my promise. I'll try to get an automatic. So that would be really cool. That's been kind of my goal since these playoffs started, to get into that top six.
That is your leader, Max Homa, now the holder of the course record, a 62 yesterday at Olympia Fields. And I'll tell you what, Lenny, he really made some birdies, made a lot of putts, made a lot of longer putts. These weren't, you know, 3, 4, 6, 8 footers. He was draining the ball from all over the greens, which we'll hear a little more from Max later in the show, but actually made a comparison to them, to the greens he sees at Augusta National Masters Week.
Yeah, that's a strange comparison. I mean, he would know better, but between a course, even Olympia Fields or any of the courses here, I don't see I mean, I played Augusta National and I played Olympia Fields and a lot of more courses in the Midwest, of course, but I can't liken the green types very, very easily like that. I don't know what he saw there, but whatever it was, he believed in himself, and that was the confidence in knocking the ball in the hole like that sometimes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's real interesting to hear the feedback from the players. You know, there was heavier rain earlier in the week, and as a result, the players, the most frequently used word is soft greens. All we're hearing is soft greens, and, you know, had an opportunity to have lunch with some of the professional staff at Olympia Fields yesterday, and they're talking about seeing shots at and greens holding in places they don't normally see. Well, with that, speaking of Olympia Fields, we're going to head back out there. We are pleased and honored to have with us here this morning, live from the championship, is Nick DiGiovanni. He is the BMW championship chairman this week. Nick, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Rory. It's good to see you.
Yeah. Well, Nick, I got to ask you, it's got to be an exciting week for the club. I'm sure you were thrilled, you know, after the disappointment of when you were supposed to host 3 years ago. And it pretty much, even though there was a tournament, it didn't feel like one because of the COVID restrictions. It's got to be exciting for Olympia Fields to be back and showing off your great facility to not only the fans and spectators coming out, but to the world on TV.
You're 100% right, and that word exciting is exactly the right word. As you all know, in 2020, we had a tremendous finish that was exciting for those of us that had the opportunity to be here working. But, you know, the 100,000 people that would be here live and all the viewing audience kind of missed that excitement of the roar of the crowd. So it is great to see, you know, 25 to 30,000 people here enjoying not only the golf course, but also some of the other activities that BMW and the Western Golf Association have put up around the course.
Well, Nick, I have to ask you, either in the Pro-Am this week or in the week ahead, are you going to get out and play it in the golf course in these championship-like conditions? And how much have the members been able to enjoy playing that type of setup at their home club?
Well, the week's approaching the up until 10 days before the tournament, the members had the opportunity to play that course. And the rough was getting longer every day. I was fortunate enough to be able to play on the Saturday in the Evans Cup and also Wednesday in the Pro-Am with Ricky Fowler and Seamus Power. So I experienced some of that rough firsthand and some of the Speedy Greens firsthand also.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's quite a setup out there. It's amazing. You know, I'm sure you remember some tournaments when people used to kind of just walk and stand outside the ropes, and now you got three-story levels of skyboxes out there by the 17th and 18th hole, and I'm sure people are getting a view of the North Course that they're not used to seeing if they're up in some of those hospitality suites.
You're right. That the structure that they put up on around the 18th green and 17th tee, we have to credit Patrick Timpson and the Western Golf Association and their team for coming up with that design. It's truly a spectacular views from all those venues. And also, if you've been out on the golf course, there's three or four other venues, including the BMW Owners Pavilion and the Island, which the Island sits behind the 6T, but you can see about four or five different holes from there. So there are some great viewing spots out on that golf course for sure.
Mm-hmm. What's it like, though, to add a PGA Tour playoff event to the great list of historical golf championships that have been held at Olympia Fields? You've had PGAs and U.S. Opens and, you know, even a great collegiate tournament that you host with the University of Illinois and Coach Mike Small. What's it like to have this event, though, at your club to add to the list of championship history?
Well, it is really great, and you're right. The Olympia Fields has a rich history. You know, that we started with the Western Open, which dates back to 1899, makes it, I think, the third oldest tournament on the PGA Tour, behind only the British Open and the U.S. Open. And when BMW began sponsoring this tournament in 2007, that's when it became the penultimate event on the PGA Tour's FedEx playoffs. So to have the top, this year, 50, used to be 70 top players, come to Olympia Fields, that just adds to that long history. It's great. You know, and let's not forget that one of the great things about this tournament is the significant contribution made to the Evans Scholars Foundation. I think since 2007, this championship has contributed more than $45 million to the Evans Scholars Foundation that we all know is a charity that puts young men and women caddies into college with full room and board and tuition. And this year we have over 1,100 young women and men in colleges and 24 colleges around the country. So that we can't forget that is one of the great things about this tournament.
Yeah, Nick, how many do you, off the top of your head, how many caddies actually do you have working out at Olympia Fields over the course of a summer? Is there a ballpark figure?
We have, you know, we have a training program for the caddies, and we have right around 200 caddies in that program.
Wow, that is amazing, and it's great for the club to give that many young men and women an opportunity to come out and do something like that. Nick, in these days of changing times in golf, and it seems like a lot of clubs, especially with more play that came out of the pandemic era, are making improvements to their golf courses, to their clubhouse, and adding other facilities, trying to make the club more of a year-round destination for their members and guests. Tell us a little bit about what's happening at Olympia Fields. I know you've done some work on your North Course, and there's some plans to eventually maybe tinker with this week's course, the North Course.
Yes, as you know, we have one of the great things about Olympia Fields is we have two championship caliber courses. We have spent the last 2 years renovating our South Course, not the tournament course, and have done some major, major improvements on the South Course, which will be concluded this fall. And then we are putting together a long-range planning committee to deal with some improvements on the tournament course, the North Course, going forward. But you know, we've had this we've had tournaments here before, and the North Course is a pretty fine layout as it is. But we intend to keep up with the times and continue to make improvements.
All right, Nick, before we let you go today, any message out there to the golf fans that are coming out to Olympia Fields this weekend or are still thinking about coming out?
Well, I can tell you that the weather is predicted to be great for the next 2 days. You know, yesterday we saw a course record by Max Homa, 62, with 10 birdies, which is pretty impressive on that golf course. The leaderboard is filled with some of the most exciting players in the world. And as I mentioned, in addition to the golf out there, there are BMW fan experiences where you can actually hit that 66-foot iconic putt that John Rahm made to win it in 2020. And you can hit some golf balls out on the South Course at the BMW driving range. There's lessons for juniors that are being done in the BMW Pavilion. So there's fun for the whole family there. And if you are a golf fan, there's certainly some great venues to see some of the world's greatest. So I encourage everyone to come out.
Well, Nick DiGiovanni, the chairman of this year's BMW championship, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us. I know they're keeping you busy out there, and it's really nice of yourself and your club, your board, and everybody to work with the WGA and let everybody see what Olympia Fields is all about this week. And, Nick, have a great week. We'll see you out at the club tomorrow.
Rory, thanks, and see you out there.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Well, I'll tell you what, it is an exciting week at Olympia Fields. And Lenny, when was the last time you were out there? Because neither one of us got there for the 2020 COVID BMW.
Yeah, I know that the last time I was there, I'm sure it was for the KPMG Women's Tournament. It was the held back to back in Chicago at one at Olympia, and the next year at Kemper Lakes. I'm trying to think of the years, but Olympia has got a course there that's good for all kinds of competition. I mean, the fact that the collegiate team, the Fighting Illini Invitational, has been a fixture over there, and the best of the women's leagues, women's tour has played there. They had a U.S. Senior Open there way back. Graham Marsh winning one way back when. It's a tournament. It's a course that can accommodate all kinds of play at the very top level. And there's a lot of courses that try to do that, but I don't know if any course does it quite as well as Olympia Fields North. So I'm interested in seeing what they're doing with the South Course when it's finished. I always found it a lot more fun to play the South than the North when I was over there. But as I say, it's been a few years since I've been over there to try it, but I'm looking forward to visiting there again one of these days.
Billy, when's the last time you got out to Olympia Fields and played over there? Did you set any course records?
You know, I can't name the year, but of course I was over there. I tried to qualify for the Western there, I know, twice, and got an honor spot. I never got in, but it definitely is a golf course and a half. There's no question about it, and we had a real good section match play tournament there, and you know, being of less talent, I always liked those kinds of courses because I seem to, you know, I just try to make pars. You win with a lot of pars on a golf course like that in our section tournament. So I've always had good playing and good luck over there at Olympia. I got good memories there. But it's everything that he said is true of being a first class golf course, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'll remember one of the classic stories from 1997, the U.S. Senior Open that Graham Marsh won, that Len Zeme was alluding to. Is I was in the press tent working away, and one of my broadcast partners at the time, Jerry Cook, the late Jerry Cook, who did so much great work around town here for years, had gone out to have a smoke on his pipe. And came back in, and he says, "You better come outside and see this." I said, "What's going on?" He says, "Just follow me outside the tent." So we walked outside, and on the other side of the clubhouse, away from the championship, there was another putting green. And who was out there by himself practicing his putting? Arnold Palmer. And Jerry and I went out there, and we were the first two people there, and then a couple people from the clubhouse came out, and the word started to get around, and little by little, and I swear it didn't take more than about 20, 25 minutes, Arnie looked up and looked around and realized that the entire putting green was surrounded by people six deep just to watch Arnold Palmer roll practice putts. And, Lenny, I'll never forget that, and I'll also remember Jack Nicklaus that year walking into the media press center after coming off the golf course, and the air conditioning was on so strong that Jack says, "Oh, it's too cold in here. If I sit in here for a half hour, my back's going to lock up. I won't even play in the tournament this week." So he said, "Where else can we go?" And he and some USGA guys were trying to figure out a place, and I remember suggesting to Pete Kowalski and Craig Smith that there was a nice patio over by the halfway house, a wooden deck out there on the south course, and we all looked at Jack, and Jack looked and said, "Oh, that's not a bad walk. Let's do it." And so all of us, 20 media guys, we followed Jack Nicklaus and the USGA officials out to the little wooden deck on the halfway house of the south course. And Jack just sat down at a table, and all of us gathered around him. I got in a chair right next to Jack Nicklaus and turned the tape recorder on, and, oh, it was a wonderful time. Back when you could really enjoy a press conference in just a fun, relaxing style. And, Lenny, we don't have too many of those anymore.
You know, I tell you that we started talking about Olympia Fields. That Olympia Fields holds a warm spot for me especially. It was the first, it was the 1968 Western Open, which was won by Jack Nicklaus, which was the, I was working for the Hammond Times in Indiana at the time. And it was the first, I consider that the start of my, really, my golf writing career, because it was the first PGA Tour event that I had covered. And, boy, it seems like yesterday now, but it was that what was really unusual there. We had a similar interview situation. As I remember it, we had only about half a dozen, newspaper beat writers was there. It wasn't so much of a broadcast situation at all. And we gathered around a table in the clubhouse, but the players one by one would come in there. Palmer and Nicklaus were among them. And they would just sit there and chat and have a cigarette. And I think Arnold Pot had a beer, I think, just in chewed the fat with it. Was just it was nothing but microphones and all that stuff sitting in distance from the players. It was really just real conversation back then, and it's golf has changed a lot back then, but this will always be one of my best memories of the whole golf writing career, which I have enjoyed thoroughly.
Well, as we've alluded to during the show and talked about a little bit, Max Homa set a course record 62 yesterday, broke the record by three other players. Two of them were done in the Fighting Illini Classic, Vijay Singh doing it in the U.S. Open. But he was asked a little bit about how he's playing, what the course was like, and did he realize that he was closing in on a course record as he made birdie after birdie on the back nine?
Obviously, I hold a lot of putts, which you have to do to make 10 birdies, but I was very proud of how I drove it. I felt like I was able to attack kind of all day. Obviously, the greens are still really soft, so being in the fairway as often as I was, it felt like I was able to be aggressive on when I wanted to, and if I didn't, I could just play to the middle of the green. So I thought that the tee ball set up everything. It was a major bonus to make as many putts as I did, but it was all really good, but I think that out here, when you're in the fairway, it becomes significantly easier, more so than other golf courses.
You made 10 birdies. Did you realize you were making 10 birdies? Was there ever a moment when you looked at the cart and just saw a bunch of circles?
I guess not till after 14 or 15. I just was thinking to myself that I birdied most of the holes on the back nine, and that was quite a nice feeling. So I guess not really. Yeah, sometimes you're just, I guess, zoning. But I knew I was making a lot. I heard the standard bearer say something about how he's getting tired because he had to change the numbers on our thing so much, because Pat was making a lot too. So it was just a crazy day.
How much of this course does it ask of your game? Do you feel like it's pretty thorough?
Yeah, I think it's pretty thorough. They have a couple collection areas. You obviously are going to have a lot of kind of chop out chips from the thick rough. It does feel a bit like if you don't play from the fairway. I know Rory did it yesterday, but he's a bit unique in that. But I do feel like you need to be in the fairway. So I would say that's a that's something that is probably needed more so, unless you absolutely bomb it. But yeah, I do think that it asks a lot. The greens are really tricky. So when you get on them, you have some odd putts. You need to lag putt well, and you're going to have some awkward little ones. The greens kind of remind me a little bit like Augusta, where you can have some putts on some decent slope. So it, I think it's pretty thorough throughout the golf course, what it kind of asks of you.
Well, that is Max Homa, your leader, going into round three, and a nice comparison there to Augusta National. The one person he did mention in his comments there was Rory McIlroy, and it was interesting yesterday to listen to Rory as he tries to dial in with his wedges, and wasn't exactly what I thought we'd hear from him, talking about equipment and what he does or doesn't do with certain clubs, especially his wedges. Here's more from Rory.
Because I think, like, so, for example, that shot into 10, yeah, that was 105, so I have, like, a 105 shot with my sand wedge, which is, like, the lowest shot that I have. So if I went to another wedge, so say my 50-degree wedge, I don't practice hitting my 50-105, so, like, I don't really know what swing to put on it. So I tried to, you know, that's as easy as I can really hit a sand wedge, and trying to take spin off, and it still spins. So, and again, we haven't played... You know, well, I certainly haven't played a golf course where the greens have been this soft in quite a while. So just trying to adjust to, like, trying to always remember, okay, I need to throw this 5 or 6 past the hole to, you know, have a comeback.
There you go. That's Rory McIlroy. And you know what? Even the great players sometimes, Len Zeem, you know, have to still find a way to get dialed in at championship level with certain golf clubs.
Yeah, that's for sure. This week started, you know, it was weird, the weather, not just for this tournament, but for the Illinois PGA Championship, which was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before the play began at Olympia Fields. Heavy duty rain. I mean, it wasn't just casual stuff. I mean, the first round entirely, and the morning of the second round of the PGA and the other over at Thunderhawk wasn't playable, and then they had a slow start at Olympia Field. So I'm sure the players had to do some unusual adjusting, given where they've been playing and on the PGA Tour coming into this tournament.
Well, Billy, when you played in tournaments, did you have any certain clubs that it took a while to sort of get dialed in and made sure you had the right yardage, especially if you were wanting to attack some pins in tournament play?
You know, I didn't use a lot of wedges. I'm so dumb that I stuck with one. And, you know, I could stop it a little or let it run a little. And, I felt way better working with one wedge over anything. The only thing naturally different was a sand iron that was bunker shot, and lob shots were naturally. But, the wedge, I never messed around. I used the same one, you know, to where I wore the grooves out of it, really. So,
yeah.
But that always astounds me too. Learning the way greens were set in the old days, the ball ran a little and you hit chip and run. And, Johnny Miller's famous saying, chunk and runs. You hit a lot of chunk and run shots, you know, so.
Well, the players in 5 weeks from now are going to have that chunk and bump and run shots out at Rich Harvest Farms. Live Golf is the next chapter coming. It's 5 weeks away. And our next guest that we will hear from in a couple of minutes, he's in charge of getting Rich Harvest Farms ready for the players of the Live Golf Tour. And we'll hear from Jake Mendoza coming up right after our first break here at Golfers on Golf. Mistwood Golf Club, located on Renwick Road in Romeoville, is one of the Chicago area's finest public golf facilities, where golfers find a commitment to excellence by the owners, the McWethy family. Mistwood Golf Club, designed and renovated by architect Ray Hearn, is a links-style golf course with 20 sidewall bunkers like those found in Scotland or Ireland. Mistwood has played host to several championships, including the state amateur, and it's the yearly home of the Illinois Women's Open. The driving range and performance center comes with natural grass hitting areas and indoor hitting bays, perfect for lessons, practice, or club fittings. Before or after your round, stop in and enjoy the bar and grill in the performance center or dining in McWethy's Tavern in the main clubhouse. So make your tee times today by calling 815-254-3333 or visit online mistwoodgc.com. Erin Hills, one of Wisconsin's top public golf destinations and a top 100 rated golf course, is ready to welcome golfers to a championship golf experience. Erin Hills is where you can enjoy walking on the rolling hills of the Kettle Moraine area just northwest of Milwaukee. Erin Hills has already hosted four USGA championships, including the U.S. Amateur and the 2017 U.S. Open. Now, a fifth USGA championship is coming in 2025, and this time it's the ladies' turn when the Women's U.S. Open arrives. It's also one of six U.S. Open courses open for public play. Now at Erin Hills is the 63,000-square-foot putting green, the Drumlin, open for unlimited use for those with a scheduled tee time. While at Erin Hills, you can stay in rooms over the Irish pub or in one of the several cottages right on property. During the warm days of summer, enjoy beverages like a Fescue Rescue or a cold Erin Hills Pilsner. So book your tee times now, because tee times and rooms are going quickly. So book your play and stay by calling Erin Hills at 866-772-4769 or visit erinhills.com. All right, it's 10:31. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio right here, AM 750 WNDZ. I'm Rory Spears along with Bill Berger in the house. Ed Stevenson has the week off. Len Zeem joins us from the Palm Air Studios in beautiful Sarasota, Florida. And, you know, we've been talking about the BMW Championship because it is in town this week. 5 weeks from now, professional golf returns a little west of the city. It'll be out at Rich Harvest Farms, Jerry Rich's club out there, which is a really good one, a longtime top 100 in America Golf Digest rated facility. And we're pleased to welcome to the program for the first time the man who has the job of getting that golf course ready, and he's going to start ramping it up over the next several weeks, and that's Jake Mendoza. Jake, how are you this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing great today. How about you guys?
Hey, we're doing good. It's a golf week, and I know it might be a little quieter by you than it is at Olympia Fields, but Jake, tell us a little bit. I know that they've told us about weeks of growing rough and getting the greens ready and having the bunkers in shape, and that's the project that's in your hands now as we get ready for Live Golf's return to Rich Harvest Farms September 22nd through 24.
Yes, we're hard at work getting everything ready, managing all the small details, bunker depth checks, moving sand, making sure everything's just perfect in the bunkers, making sure greens are ready to peak at the right time and provide the best firm, fast conditions that we can. It's a long process, and we're well on our way there.
Well, Jake, I got to ask you. I know you're back at Rich Harvest Farms this year, but it wasn't the first time you were here. I believe earlier in your career, you worked for a while at Rich Harvest before working at some other championship venues.
Yes, I was lucky enough to land my first assistant superintendent job out of college here from 2005 to 2008. So it was an amazing opportunity to return home, for lack of a better term. I'm close to family again, a lot of familiar faces here on property. Great to be back. Property has evolved and improved and changed a lot over the years. So it's like riding a bike. I remember a lot of where things are, but a lot of new things out here.
Yeah, I know it has changed a little bit. Len Zeem, what have you got for Jake Mendoza, the new superintendent at Rich Harvest Farms?
Well, Jake, I don't have in front of me the record, but I know that after your stint, your first stint over there at Rich Harvest, you were at a number of very high profile courses. I mean, you'd have to refresh me as to when. I remember reading your bio to that effect. But what it struck me is about that, as I'm wondering how Rich Harvest, which is very unusual course within the Chicago area, it's different. It stands out. If you get it's a real treat to get to play there. How it varied from the places you were at as far as the working the work that had to be done. Were there a lot of differences?
You know, in general, once you're inside the ropes, it doesn't matter where you're at. The preparations for a big event like this are very similar. You know, whether it was the mm-hmm. Ryder Cup at Medina Country Club or the Rocket Mortgage Classic over at Detroit Golf Club the last few years, our goal is mm-hmm. always to produce the best conditions we can for the best players on the planet and give them a canvas to showcase their skills to spectators and TV and everybody that's watching them.
Jake, did I read correctly that you spent a little time out east at Wingfoot, New York?
Yes, that's where I did my internship all the way back in 2004. I was lucky enough to be a part of the team that put on the 2004 U.S. Amateur. And then in my time here, first go around at Rich Harvest, they allowed me to go back and volunteer for the 2006 U.S. Open. So I got to experience tournament golf, big tournament golf for the first time there at Wingfoot as a volunteer. It was an amazing experience. From that moment on, I was hooked on big events and producing the best conditions possible for the world to see.
Jake, I got to ask you as we as you start your ramp up into championship week, sort of where do the golf course suggestions come from at this point? Do you have a plan? Do you work with Jerry Rich on it? How much are LIV Golf officials involved? And I know the feedback that Mr. Rich and Alex Klein and everybody on the team over there got last year, it seemed like the players were pretty happy. So do you go with a little bit of if it's not broke, don't fix it, or will you make some changes this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Rich Harvest is excited to once again host the LIV team here. We're looking to build off of last year's success. No need to reinvent the wheel. Just keep improving off of what was done last year. Before I arrived, there were some significant improvements made to the golf course, some tree removals, some other improvements. So we're in a really good spot to showcase the property this year.
Does preparation change much from, shall we say, golf body to golf organization? It seems like the USGA has their way of doing things. The PGA Tour has their way of doing things. Does LIV Golf have their way of doing things? Are they somewhat streamlined with what you've seen from other major golf organizations that put on major championships?
They each have their own little nuances that change, but overall, the goal remains the same. How we get there changes from site to site, but you know, green speeds, firmness, everybody's got the same targets in mind.
What's been the biggest challenge that you've encountered since you've come back to work again at Rich Harvest Farms?
Well, this year has been a pretty challenging year on the golf course, starting off with the extreme drought-like conditions. It's not an easy way to start your tenure in a new job. And then from that point on, it's just been, you know, all of the issues that every golf course in America is facing right now, the labor challenges and post-COVID golfer expectations and high volume of play has been a welcome challenge that has been fun to work through.
Well, what about the locations? Sometimes organizations will just go back to what's worked in the past. Sometimes they look at new places to put up hospitality suites or move around where the food concessions are, even where the porta potty stations are at. Are those set in place, or are you working and creating some different views for, you know, the suite holders and the hospitality people?
Oh, yeah. We've got a ton of new exciting things this year. I think people are going to be very impressed with the changes that were made. Last year was a great success. But as in all big events like this, especially in my time at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, every year we learned how to improve upon golf conditions, improve on the spectator experience. We're always looking to get better from year to year and make tweaks and changes. One of the big things is going to be our spectator experience on one specific hole. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere. It's something that I can't really explain. You'll have to just come out and see it.
Okay. Well, I know that this year there's more of a TV presence for the LIV Golf Tour as well, and I'm sure the television towers and where they're going to want to put those cameras, there'll be some difference in what we saw last year.
Yep, definitely. I think they'll put on a good show on TV. If you're not able to make it out to the event, it will be televised on WGN on both Saturday and Sunday this year. And I think they'll put on a really good show.
Well, is there anything else that you're looking forward to as you prepare for Championship Week and try to find a spot maybe to get some sleep in advance of that? Because obviously Tournament Week is long hours, very long hours for any superintendent.
Yes, it's going to be a very busy week. At the time that I made the move back over here, it was, you know, prime golf season. I was ramping up. I didn't really get a chance to get out and reconnect with some of the local superintendents like I had hoped. And this golf event gives us an opportunity to reconnect. We have a lot of volunteers coming in from across Chicagoland to help us prepare the golf course for the week. So it'll be great to get them out here, get them a little taste of the LIV Golf experience and reconnect with a lot of people.
Jake, one of the things that Ridge Harvest Farms has done for years, and I don't know if because of the dates this year of the LIV Golf Tournament, is there any kind of collegiate event tied in with Northern Illinois University that uses Ridge Harvest Farms as their home course? Is the Invitational still on, or has that been moved?
That's still in the works. I don't know the answer to that question at the moment, but the team is back out on the course, practicing and getting ready for this golf season. Hopefully they can continue their year from last year winning the conference.
Okay. Well, real good. Well, any final thoughts? Anything you want to say to people and try to encourage a few more people to come on out and see what almost 25,000 people saw, you know, last year on Sunday at Rich Harvest Farms during the LIV Golf Championship Week?
Yeah, we're going to put on a great event. Whether you're a golf fan, not a golf fan, there's something for everybody out here. Whether it's the concerts with Grammy-winning artist Tiesto on Saturday, or I'm being told that there's some exciting news coming up with additional music acts throughout the week. Or if you are a diehard golf fan, you know we've got some of the best players in the world that will be out here showcasing their talents and competing to win the event.
Well, the last thing you got to do is I think you got to make sure you clear a few spots so that those guys who come in via parachute at the start of the round have a nice soft place to land.
Yes, we'll get to work on that.
Okay. Hey, Jake Mendoza, welcome back to the Western Suburbs, Sugar Grove, Rich Harvest Farms, and we're looking forward to seeing you out on property in advance of the tournament and definitely Championship Week as well.
Well, thank you for the invite today, and you guys have a great weekend.
All right, you
good
too.
Luck.
Yeah, that's Jake Mendoza, the man in charge of the Rich Harvest Farms golf course as he starts to ramp it up over the next 5 weeks for the return of LIV Golf. Lenny, speaking of returns for LIV Golf, you're going to be back up in town to work this one, correct?
Yeah, I'm scheduled to cover for the Daily Herald the tournament rounds, and we're looking forward to leaving the heat of Florida. It's finally starting to getting a little rain, and but it's been very, very hot. I've never experienced this consistently hot weather, 95 degrees about every day. But we're going to have a stop at Pinehurst on the way in there in September, and that'll look forward to that. I I tell you, Roy, there was a couple things that I did want to be sure we mentioned in this show. Even we've covered the two pro tour events, the big ones coming, but there was one thing that happened last week that I just feel we got to be sure the people are all aware of it. The Illinois PGA had another win by Mike Small, and the University of Illinois coach has now won that tournament 14 times, which is astonishing. And as I understand it from my friends at the Illinois PGA, that Mike has won. There's 41 sections in the PGA of America, and Mike has won more section titles than any other professional at any of the other sections. So that's a feat. I mean, we talk about Mike and all his coaching, and he's won a lot of tournaments before, but that is that's something that really stands out like a sore thumb to me. That is a terrific accomplishment.
Billy, to both of you here, we'll start with Billy. Do you recall anybody ever winning the same tournament 14 times, even a club championship? I mean, you know, every once in a while some clubs have a dominant player and somebody wins it six or eight times, but I can't remember anybody ever winning the same tournament 14 times. Billy, do you know of anybody?
No, I don't. And you know, I think that my recollection of Mike Small coming on the scene from being a good Southern Amateur player, he kind of playing the tour, and it looked like he was going to be the tour player over Madison wonder they got.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were about even, and somewhere along the line, but that, you know what, you're not beating empty chairs in the section tournaments, you know.
Yeah.
And I always thought, you know, we had, you know, Bill Ogden was a perennial winner, an open qualifier, but probably the best player I ever played here, and he won the match play five times with Bob Harris.
Yeah.
And he probably should have been a tour player, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I always thought that was phenomenal that Harris won the match play.
Yeah.
Bob
Harris did some course design, Billy, including the Grove Country Club, where I'm proud to say I'm a member of the professional team up there. And we're looking forward to hosting the Pro Illinois PGA Pro Social this Monday. And I know that my boss is there, Director of Golf Tony Putzer, and Head Professional Matt Simon, looking forward to welcoming the section there. The golf course has been in great shape all year. A lot of credit to our superintendent and their team in having such a great facility through some of the challenges, even weather-wise, that we heard Jake Mendoza from Rich Harvest Farms talk about. But, Lenny, as far as section events, I mean, you've covered some of these guys. There's some of your fellow Illinois Golf Hall of Fame brothers, the Jim Sobs and Emil Espositos, and, you know, some of the people that are going into the hall now, including Tim O'Neill. A lot of these guys, they won section events and multiple majors, but, you know, how many of them, you know, I don't know. Has anybody else even won the section more than five, six times?
I think the record, other than Mike, is was Ogden, and I think did it five times. Yeah, I was interested in the same question you were there about the number of championships won, and this strikes me as up because this came up one time. Gary Groh, the longtime head pro at Bobolink, he grew up over in Michigan, in Niles, Michigan. And he was telling, I don't know why this all of a sudden is coming to my mind, but his dad was apparently a very good player. And in his club level, at the club there, now I don't know how big the club was. I know that it had some good players, and obviously it developed Gary, but he told me that his dad had won his club championship 30 times.
Wow.
For some reason that just comes to my mind. I know it was 30 times. I said, wow, that we almost put together a story about him way back when. This was a long, long time ago. And Gary, of course, was a very successful player in the Illinois PGA ranks, and he had some Illinois PGA titles to boot, but and he won on the PGA Tour. But 30 times by his dad in a club in Niles, Michigan. It was something that defies the imagination, I think.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're going to hear a little more from the BMW Championship. Matt Fitzpatrick, the U.S. Open champ from back in 2022, is in town this week. Of course, he had a short stint at Northwestern some years back before focusing on his pro career. He also uses Bettinardi putters and Bettinardi Golf opening their brand new facility this past week out in Oak Brook, 22nd Street near Michael Jordan's restaurant. And we encourage people to go over there and take a look at what they have to offer. But I asked Matt yesterday a little bit about his connection to Bettinardi Golf and the position he's put himself in for this week's weekend of the BMW Championship.
No. Yeah, obviously, I've been with them for a few years now. They made me a putter that was like my old putter, yes, Seagroove. So they did a fantastic job with that. And, I feel really comfortable in using it.
Also, can you just talk about putting yourself in position for the weekend with where you're at right now?
Yeah, I'm delighted. You know, I know where I need to be in that top five or six, I think, to make East Lake. And that's obviously one goal. But at the same time, you know, I feel like my game's not been where I want it to be. So these two rounds are sort of a really positive step in where I want it to be in, going forward.
Well, that is Matt Fitzpatrick, and he was thrilled to have some of the equipment he's got in his bag, including what's made for him right here in the Chicago area, what's been made in Tinley Park in terms of the putter in his bag. Special thanks to Bob Bettinardi for being nice enough to reach in Matt's bag while he was signing his scorecard and pull out the current edition of the putter for me to take a look at. We got a couple of pictures on it. You'll see it on Golfers on Golf on our social media pages, but also on the website coming up this week. And I also had a chance to catch up with new reigning British Open champion Brian Harman and talk to him about his past success in the Midwest that also includes a win at the John Deere Classic.
Yeah, I'm putting a lot of good rolls on it. I didn't miss hit many putts that week. I've missed hit a couple this week, so I think I probably had a little better feel for the greens over there than I've had so far this week. But hopefully grab a little momentum and putt a little better this weekend.
How much do you like playing in this part of the country? I mean, you won at John Deere, you played great at Erin Hills, and now a chance maybe for the Illinois sweep here, so to speak.
Yeah, I love coming up north. I love the – it's going to sound silly. I'm a tree guy. I love the beautiful trees here. Very jealous of the oak trees here. So I love coming up here, and it's always enjoyable.
Well, Len, Brian Harman sounds more like a Midwest guy than a Florida guy or Southwest guy and getting out in the old Parkland style courses.
Yeah, he sure does. I mean, he lives out in around Hilton Head, if I'm not mistaken. That's Sea Island, Georgia, isn't that where?
That is correct. Where,
yeah.
Out there with Zach Johnson and some of those guys, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, that may be his performance in the in the British Open. At this point in the time of the year, I think that's the outstanding one tournament performance in all of golf, that his runaway win in the British this year. It was unexpected, and I mean, he was a decent player, a journeyman player. He had his win at the John Deere Classic, which gave him a lot of attention in our ranks, but dominating a major the way he dominated that one, I think that's the I think that's my vote gets my vote for the outstanding single tournament performance of this season.
Well, Billy, when you were out on tour, did you like those Arizona courses with only a couple of cactus, or Florida courses with only a couple of palm trees, or were you a Parkland guy with playing the tree line courses up and down the fairways?
You know what? I hate to say this, no part of the country bothered me more than Arizona. The grass was just, I never played that much out there, but when I did, I just did not play, in all honesty. I always thought I could play a little bit anywhere, but I never seemed to do as good out west as anywhere else, south or southwest. Never, but you're right. And the grass first going out there, to me, hitting Arizona, it almost seemed like wire. The rough was never that high, but you had to chop it out, and it came out different. And they kind of matched us. They've changed. Arizona has changed more Midwestern style roughs and different grasses they use. So, but Johnny Miller sure owned the West. You know, I don't know how many times he won Tucson in a row, and you wasted your time running that tournament with Miller playing. He just played that golf course so good that it's nice. It's nice to putt 10 footers all day. You know what I mean?
Well, you got a good chance of making those. You know, Johnny spending those days at BYU on the golf team and everything. So, anyway, we're after this week, other than a few section events. And as you might have heard Kerry Williams talk about last week, Birdies for Charity coming up the day after Labor Day over at River Forest Country Club. A great thing that the Illinois PGA does. They raise a lot of money for several different charities. And so if you see your head pro at your club or at the public course that you play at, and if they're looking for sponsors, so much a birdie, whether you can do 10 cents or 25 cents or a buck a birdie, whatever it is, or you just want to make an overall contribution to the event, illinoispga.com/birdiesforcharity. It's a great event, and you know what, they do so much good, and as much as our local club professionals have to do. And, that's one thing that, I've noticed. I work with two different professional staffs, one on the public course side, one in the private club side, and to see the amount of hours, that these professionals have to spend, maybe in places they don't always want to, too much time in front of the laptop, in front of the computer, and maybe not enough time on the golf course, not having enough time to fit golf clubs or give golf lessons or even work on their own game. But, it's nice to see, 40 or 50 guys from the section take their one day off and go out and, raise some money for good causes. Len Zeem, any final thoughts, before we let you run and go enjoy your weekend?
Yep, there's one thing we should all be kind of aware of. Next week begins the Corn Ferry Tour playoffs, which is means at the end of it, 30 players will move into the PGA Tour. And, of course, Adrian Dumont de Chassard, just out of the University of Illinois, has got a great chance. He goes in as number seven, and with 30 players advancing, from the 156 that start the tournament in Boise this week, he looms as a real threat. But Vince India, he's in the list. Brad Hopfinger is in the tournament in the playoffs. A couple of the Illinois players, Michael Fiegels, and another one that'll be competing. They'll have to play awful well to get themselves up to number 30. But it's a big tournament for those guys. It's really a future builder, and if they can play well, their life is going to change in a hurry if they can get on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it sure will. Well, you know what? Time flies when we're having fun, and we are about ready here to putt out on 18. I want to remind everybody that we've talked a lot about professional golf this week. The U.S. Amateur is playing out at Cherry Hills in Colorado, and the best amateurs and some of those people are the people you're going to see on these professional tours a couple of years from now. If you're headed out to Olympia Fields, yes, golf is already underway for the day, getting ready to tee off in 5 minutes. Lucas Glover, Tommy Fleetwood, JT Poston right behind him, U.S. Open champion Wyndham Clark will be teeing off in about 25 minutes. And Max Homa, your leader, with Chris Kirk at 12:50, Rory McIlroy at 12:06. So all the big names and those those in position will be hitting the first tee shortly out at Olympia Fields. I hope if you're going out to Olympia Fields and enjoy the BMW Championship and won't be back for a long time. And with that, for Len Ziem, for Bill Berger, our producer Brian Stinson, doing a great job spinning the dials, I'm Rory Spears. Go play, everybody.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.